Hey, this is Brendan Gersall from King's Church. Thanks so much for tuning in to our podcast. I pray this message you're about to hear empowers you, encourages you, challenges you, and equips you to live the life that Jesus has for you. Thanks for tuning in.
Every now and again, I'll need to talk to Pastor Brent about something. So I'll pull up my phone and I'll text him. I'll say, hey, Pastor Brent, can we talk sometime? And I know how it feels when he gets that text. Because I've been that guy. The guy who gets that, can we talk? I know how his brain starts racing, his blood pressure rises, he gets that hot ball of anxiety that wells up right here, right? Going like, oh my goodness, what happened? What terrible bomb is this person about to drop on me? I've been that guy. Right now, I'm too far down. You can text me anything you want. It's not gonna be my problem to solve it. I'm down in the basement without the windows, with the peon. I'm not up in the C-suite where all the important stuff happens, so I'm fine. But I know how Pastor Brent feels because I've sat in that chair. And so I always give him a heads up along with that, right? Hey, heads up. I just wanna run a couple of things by you. I just need your sign off on something. There's nothing bad, there are no problems. This will not create more work for you because I don't want him to be, right? By the way, if you are the kind of person who texts one of your pastors, hey, it's really important, we need to talk sometime, and doesn't tell them what it's about, don't be that guy. Can I just say on behalf of all the pastors at King's, we don't like you. We love you because Jesus says we have to, but give us a heads up. Like, just give us some idea what it's about. What, even if it's terrible, like, don't go, this is really bad and I'd hate to bring it up by text. Just go like, it actually is pretty heavy and I'm going to need your help with something. Like, do something, because we don't want to sit there the whole time going, and then finally we get a chance to get back to you like, what time is the thing at the place that you announced 7 times already? So anyways, don't be that person. But I know that if I give Pastor Brent a heads up, it is going to greatly change his experience between the text I send and the talk we eventually have, right? A heads up can make a lot of difference in how you experience something. In John chapter 16, Jesus knows that his crucifixion and death are coming. He also knows that his resurrection is coming, but he's aware that the time in between those two things is going to be incredibly trying for his disciples. So he gives them a heads up on some things that's gonna allow them to experience this very hard time differently. So that instead of fear and sadness, they can actually have peace and joy. And the things that he gives them a heads up on for that season are actually true for us in the difficult seasons that we go through as well, those in-between times for us. And if we will listen to and trust what Jesus tells them, we can have peace and joy when we go through sorrows and sufferings and hardships and disappointments and trials. So this morning, we're gonna try to get our heads around the heads up that Jesus is giving us. So we're in John chapter 16. We're gonna start at verse 19. We'll read for a bit, then we'll take a little jump later into the passage. But here we go. John 16, starting at verse 19. Jesus realized they wanted to ask him about it. So he said, are you asking yourselves what I meant? I said, in a little while you won't see me, but a little while after that, you will see me again. I tell you the truth. You will weep and mourn over what's going to happen to me, but the world will rejoice. You will grieve, but your grief will suddenly be turned to wonderful joy. It will be like a woman suffering the pains of labor. When her child is born, her anguish gives way to joy because she's brought a new baby into the world. So you have sorrow now, but I will see you again. Then you will rejoice, and no one can rob you of that joy. Jump down to verse 29. Then his disciples said, at least you're speaking plainly and not figuratively. I like that they get fed up with him too, the same way he gets fed. Like, thanks for like just saying it finally, Jesus. None of this like, there's a rooster and it ran across the road. Like all these parables he's telling, right? Like, hey, you guys want to know what the whole kingdom of God is like? You've seen a farmer, right? Yeah. So there you go. You got it, right? Like, no, we don't. Come on, walk us through it. Then his disciples said, at least you're speaking plainly and not figuratively. Now we understand that you know everything and there's no need to question you. From this, we believe that you came from God. Jesus asked, "Do you finally believe? But the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when you will be scattered, each one of you going his own way, leaving me alone. Yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me." Here's the key verse. "I have told you all this so you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I believe there's a lot of us gathered in our various locations today who are in that in-between. Like, we feel like the bad thing has happened and we don't know if the good thing is coming. When you say that we will have sorrows and trials, we can give a very weak but deeply felt amen, because we're feeling it. Would you help us today, Jesus, to see why and how we can have peace and joy despite those things? We ask this in your name. Amen. So here's what Jesus gives the disciples a heads up on so that they could have peace and joy in hard times. Peace and joy when they see their Messiah executed, but before they see him resurrected. The first thing he makes sure that they know is that he knew this would happen. Jesus' crucifixion was not unexpected. Jesus was not shocked when he learned that this would happen. Scripture says that Jesus is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Jesus was always aware that this was part of the deal. The disciples were going to get caught off guard, despite Jesus repeatedly giving them a heads up, right? They're going to kill me. Okay. They're going to kill me. Okay. They're going to kill me. Okay. Oh my word, they killed Jesus. Can you believe it? It's like, yes, he's been telling us, guys. They're going to be caught off guard, but Jesus wasn't. God was not scrambling to figure out what to do in this moment. The crucifixion was not a detour or a derailment of God's purposes. He knew it was coming. In fact, it was a key part of his plan. God would be no less in control on Mount Calvary than he was in the manger in Bethlehem or on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus is saying, look, guys, you can relax. I knew this was coming. It's part of the plan. This changes nothing. Everything is still going according to my plan. Relax. He knew that it would happen. He cared that it would upset them. Like, he actually stops to talk about how they're going to feel in this season. That's the reason he tells them this stuff up front anyways, right? It's not to change the outcome. He knows he's rising from the dead either way. It's not so they can stop the hard part. He has to go to the cross. He's not trying to prevent that. It's not even so that it will change their behavior, because he tells them right there, you're all going to ditch me. He tells them this because he cares how freaked out they're going to be. And he doesn't want them to experience all that upset, all that sadness and fear. He wants them to have peace and joy, which is the next thing he gives them a heads up about, that he wants them to have peace and joy. In fact, he talks about having joy four times in this passage, and then he sums the whole thing up by saying the whole point of him telling them all this is so that they can have peace. Jesus cares how they're feeling. He cares about their emotions. He doesn't say, look, they're gonna come get me. Suck it up, buttercup, you know. Be a man. Mind over matter, stiff upper lip. You're like, he tells them, man, guys, I know this is going to rock you, and I want you to have joy, and I want you to be able to have peace. And not just that they can have peace, like not, hey, but if you really keep your head up, he said, no, I want you to. It is my will for you. My desire, I have told you this for the express purpose of enabling you to have joy and peace. And a big part of the basis for that peace and that joy that he promises them, or that he encourages them to have, he says, take heart, right? Is that he has already won. Take heart, because I have overcome the world. Not I'm trying to, not I'm planning to, not if this all goes right, I will eventually. I have, past tense, I have overcome the world. He's saying, guys, I know this is gonna look like a battle and you're gonna want me to win, but you're gonna be worried that I might not. Relax, I already did. It's actually already over. We gotta let a few things play out here, but I'm already victorious. I have overcome the world. My resurrection will not be me overcoming this fallen world so much as it will be the revelation of the fact that I have already overcome the world. Jesus knew his disciples would be facing a hard time, and he wanted them to have peace and joy in spite of it, so he gave them a heads up that he knew it would happen, that he cared it would upset them, that he wanted them to have peace and joy, and that he'd already won. As followers of Jesus, you and I go through hard times. We go through many trials and sorrows, some of us manier than others, but we all go through them. And Jesus wants us to have peace and joy in them. So here's the heads up for us. Heads up, Jesus knew that this would happen. I don't know what your this is. I don't know what your specific trial or sorrow is, but Jesus does now, and he did before you were in it. Your specific trial or sorrow is no more of a shock to Jesus than the crucifixion was. The day the news floored you, it was already old news to Jesus. The thing you never saw coming was on Jesus' radar before you were even born. The thing you never could have conceived of, Jesus has always been aware of. You might be scrambling, but Jesus isn't. You might be caught off guard, but Jesus isn't. When your plans go out the window, Jesus is still on the throne. When you are regrouping, Jesus is still reigning. The thing that you never anticipated, he has always been prepared for. Yes, you've got to go through it, but your king already has a plan. He's been on top of it before you ever got into it. He saw the end before you saw the beginning. Before you even came to it, he was putting plans in place to bring you through it. He is not unaware. He is not unprepared. He is not incapable. He is not disinterested. In fact, heads up, Jesus cares that it upsets you. I love that we don't serve a distant or indifferent God. I love that he just doesn't just care about our souls. There's this little thing of value in you called a soul, and I just want to rip that out. We'll chuck the rest away. Who cares what happens to that? No, he cares about our hearts. He cares about our minds. He cares about our bodies. Scripture describes Jesus as a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. In the Garden of Gethsemane, it says he was so anxious that his sweat poured down like he was bleeding. You ever see someone, especially if their like heart's really pumping and they get cut on their head, like it bleeds like crazy, like his just sweat pouring off him. He's so, I don't wanna go through this. He knows what it's like. He's cried, he has mourned, he's suffered. A God who feels like this was scandalous to the Greeks of that day. They thought God was supposed to be, the big technical term is impassible, like unaffected. He doesn't feel, he doesn't care, he doesn't, nothing ever kind of impacts him. He's just there being God. And yet, this is the kind of God that God has revealed himself to be in Christ, a God who feels, who cares, who is moved by our sorrows and our sufferings. Our feeling God is a loving God, so he cares how we feel. And hear this, some of you, especially those of you who grew up in church, have a hard time conceiving of this. God wants you to feel good. You're looking at me like, blasphemy, right? Now, I am not saying he is a God of hedonistic pleasure. I'm not saying, does it feel good is a great way to make your moral choices. But I'm saying on the deepest level, he wants you to have a healthy emotional life. In John 15:15, Jesus said, I have called you friends. What kind of friend doesn't care about your feelings? Imagine you're having a rough day. You've been going through it. It's been tough. Whatever, your dog left you and your wife died, or the other way around, whichever works, you know, and your truck broke down and your life is a country song. And you pull out your phone and you text like your best friend and you go, bro, man, I'm going through it today. I'm depressed, I'm anxious, I'm sad, I'm lonely, right? You're just kind of letting your friend know how you're doing. What if your best friend responds, yeah, well, good for you, man, we all got stuff. you might reevaluate whether or not they were your best friend or not. You are not coming to my birthday party with that attitude, right? No, what would a good friend do? Oh man, I'm so sorry. Hey, is there any way I can help? Man, look, I know it's been a hard day. Take a nap, regroup. Maybe we can hang out tonight. Like, you'll be okay. Like, I'm here with you. They're gonna try to do something to cheer you up, right? Jesus is our friend. He cares how we feel. He cares what you're going through. And he cares the impact that has on your emotional life. That's because, heads up, Jesus wants you to have joy and peace. Did you know that peace and joy are not just like possible side effects of following Jesus? They're actually his express will for you. In Galatians, we read that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, joy and peace. That's his will for you. That's actually why, part of why God put his Holy Spirit within you is to bring about joy and peace. The Holy Spirit works in you to bring about the will and the character of God, and joy and peace are his express will for your life. So do you know you can actually pray for more of them with absolute boldness? You don't have to do it like, Lord, if it be your will. You can just say, Lord, I need, please give me more joy and more peace. Sometimes I think we kind of have this weird baggage around that. We feel bad for praying for peace and especially for joy. That just seems so frivolous, you know? Maybe we think it's shallow or selfish. Maybe we think Christians are supposed to just kind of be sour, right? Like, I'm not happy, I'm a Christian, you know, like that kind of, I don't like life, I follow Jesus, you know, that kind of thing. Or we think that joy is a very low priority for God, right? We put it maybe on the level of like when you see a nice butterfly. Like, it's cool, thank you, Lord, but it's not like a thing that's core to your life or anything. Let me ask you this. Do you feel bad when you ask God to give you more love? Lord, help me love my enemy. Lord, help me to love you more. Lord, help me to love my family better. Do you feel bad when you say, Lord, would you help me to be more patient? I'm so impatient. Would you just help me to know how to wait better? Do you feel bad when you say, God, would you help me to be more kind? I've been pretty rough to that guy who keeps texting me, hey, we need to talk, and doesn't say why. And could you help me to be kind to him? Lord, would you make me more good, like more holy, more like you? God, would there be more of your goodness evident in my life? No, none of us feel bad asking for those things. None of us feel bad praying for those things. We think, oh yeah, it's great to ask for those things. Why do we think it's good to ask for more of those fruits of the Spirit and not peace and joy? It makes no sense, right? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, good. Like, they're all on the list. You can ask for them all. So listen, sad and or worried Christian, please know that peace and joy is God's will for you. And let me be clear, not his will as in a law that you should feel guilty that you're not obeying, right? He's not saying, look, you will be peaceful and joyful, or so help me, I will turn this universe around. And you know, it's not his will in some sense of like, you have to summon up on your own joy. You have to fake your way to peace or God's gonna be mad at you. I don't mean it's his will in that sense. I mean, it's a gift that you can boldly ask him for because you know already it is his desire to give it to you. Right? It's a command. It's not a commandment, it's an offering. It's not an order, it's a fruit of the Spirit. It's not a thing he's saying, you better do this or else. He's saying, would you let me do this for you? Give you more peace and joy. In fact, more peace and joy is gonna be the focus of our prayer ministry time here in just a few minutes. Sometimes we think that peace and joy are shallow things. Peace and joy are not shallow things. Distraction and entertainment are the world's cheap substitutes for those, and they are shallow. But peace and joy as fruits of the Spirit actually come from the deepest place in you, which is why they can still be abundant in hard times. It doesn't actually matter what's going on around you if it's a fruit of the Spirit. They're not dependent on external realities. In fact, at their best, they are defiant of external realities. Jesus did not say, you can have peace because I'm going to remove all the trials and sorrows from your life. He said, no, you will have trials and sorrows, but you can take heart. You can have peace in that. You can still have joy in that. You can take heart because I have overcome the world. It's also worth pointing out, clarifying further, this means that trials and sorrows and peace and joy are not mutually exclusive. Jesus is not saying sometimes you'll have trials and sorrows, but other times you'll have peace and joy. He's saying you're gonna have trials and sorrows, but underneath all of that, you can still have peace and joy. You can experience trials and still know peace. Like, not everything in your life has to be peaceful for you to be at peace. You can be gripped by deep sorrow. This is a hard one on our head. You can be gripped by deep sorrow and yet still be possessed of an even deeper joy. Aren't those the opposite? They're not the same. That's for sure. If you've never seen that in action, the best thing you could do would be to find the most godly person you know who's in their late 80s or 90s and just wait for their obituary and then go to their funeral and see what it's like to be just overwhelmed with joy, both for what God has done for them and what that says about what he's done for you, and also really sad because you're gonna miss him. Like, those two emotions can coexist, for sure, for sure. You can have sorrow, but underneath that, an even deeper joy. True peace and joy are not a reaction to external circumstances. They are the result of the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. And do you know when the Holy Spirit does some of his best work? In our trials and in our sorrows. So in a move only God could pull off, not only do trials and sorrows not negate our joy and peace, indirectly as God works through them, they can actually deepen our joy and peace. Like, they can kind of work hardened. You know, if there's certain metals that if you beat on them long enough, they actually get harder. Copper is one of those. Like, it's really soft, but if you just hammer it for a day or two, it becomes a lot more solid. Like, there's almost like our joy and peace work hardened under those trials, and they actually become stronger, more robust, more unshakable as we go through these things, especially when we remember that, heads up, Jesus has already won. If Jesus had already overcome on that side of his death and resurrection, right? This is before his death and resurrection. He says, take heart, for I have overcome the world. How much more assured can we be that he has overcome the world on this side of his death and resurrection? Jesus has already won. The victory is secure. We don't know how it's all gonna play out, but we do know where it's all gonna end up. Jesus is the one who was and is to come. That means he will win. That means he is winning. And that means he has already won, right? So we really can take heart. He's already won. As Christians, we're waiting. We're waiting for the return of Christ. We're waiting for the complete coming of the kingdom. And we're waiting for Christ's victory. But we are not waiting for the winning of his victory. We are waiting for the full revelation of his victory. We're waiting for the time when we get to live in the fullness of the victory he has already won. I always love when you watch, and I don't watch a lot of hockey, but when you see the last game of the Stanley Cup playoffs, right? They win the cup, and as soon as the buzzer goes, you've won. You are the winner. But then there's the whole ritual of bringing the cup out, right? And each guy gets to hold it up and do his lap around. Like, that's the thing that when this kid was like 5 years old, he's like, someday that's gonna be me with the Stanley Cup. Like, that's the moment he's been waiting for. Yet, if you're like a bench warmer on that team, there's gonna be a long time between that buzzer and when you get to hoist the cup. This is what you were shooting for. This is the full experience of that victory. But in all the time between the buzzer and you hoisting the cup, you're still a Stanley Cup champion. The victory has been won. You just haven't gotten to experience all the things that come with that victory. Someday, a month or two or whatever later, you're gonna get to like walk into your high school with the cup, right? And you're gonna show that teacher that you never liked, ha ha, you said I wouldn't amount to anything, you know, whatever you're, Or maybe you're better adjusted than that, right? You're going to go back and find your like bantam coach and you're going to be like, hey, coach, we did it, you know? That's some of the stuff. That's the experience of being a Stanley Cup champion, the full experience. But you became a champion the moment the buzzer went. Listen, the buzzer has gone off. Jesus has won. And we get to smile, we get to wave at the crowd, we get to do some laps. We haven't necessarily all gotten to hoist the trophy yet. We haven't gotten to march in the parade yet. Like, there's more stuff coming, but we have already won in Christ. We don't have to wonder, like, oh, dude, I haven't hoisted the cup yet. I wonder if we're going to win. No, 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 we've won. We've won. And we get to have a lot of what that victory brings already. But some of those things, like the end of all trials and sorrows, that's coming. It's inevitable. We've already won in Christ. We await the full revelation, the full experience of the victory. We await a world where we live fully in that victory. But the victory is guaranteed. It's secured. It's unshakable. It's a done deal. The buzzer has gone off. In Christ, we are champions already. We have won. The reality that Christ has won is our hope as believers. Hope, in the biblical sense, is not something unsure that we wish for. It is something secure that we wait for. Let me say that a couple of more times because it's not the way we usually use hope in our day-to-day vocabulary. Hope is not something unsure that we wish for. It is something secure that we wait for. Hope is not something unsure that we wish for. Oh, I hope it turns out this way. It is something secure that we wait for. We don't hope for things that do not exist. We hope for things that we do not yet fully possess. When we talk about the hope of heaven, we don't mean, man, I wish heaven was real, and maybe if I'm lucky, I'll get to go there. We mean, no, I know this eternal existence in the presence of God. I know it's real, and I know that's where I'm headed, and I'm really looking forward to it. I'm just not there yet. It's less like winning a trip to Disney, like, I entered in the draw, you never know, I hope I win. And it's more like a lot of us do a lot in your day-to-day job, those of you who have jobs where the weekend is not your busiest time, where you're waiting for the weekend. It's Thursday. My hope is the weekend coming. The weekend's coming. You're not going, man, I hope we do Saturday again this week. Like, man, if this is one of those ones where we skip right from Friday to Monday, I'm going to be pretty bummed, right? It's been a really busy spring for me. Wonderful, great, but just had a lot of stuff going on, teaching classes and doing stuff with the AKA and doing a bunch of preaching and podcasting and all the stuff that's my job to do. And in fact, yesterday I was in northern Maine preaching. Like last night I was preaching in northern Maine and jumped in the car and drove home, you know, 3 hours, got home right about midnight. It's been a long weekend at the end of a long run of busy stuff in ministry. And my hope for the last 3 or 4 weeks has been 12:30 today. Because at 12:30 today, I will put my little iPad on its little charging stand in my office, and I will go home and I will sleep. And the only question is, will it be in bed or on the couch? That's the only thing. My hope is in 12:30. That doesn't mean I hope 12:30 will come. 12:30 will definitely come. 12:30 is gonna happen, right? If I fall off this stage and break my neck, they will be carrying me to the morgue at 12:30. 12:30 is coming. So my hope is 12:30, but that's not a question of will 12:30 happen. It's just going, I'm looking forward to a thing that I'm not there yet on, right? That's our hope in Christ. It's not a, oh, maybe it'll work out. It's a, no, 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 it's a done deal, man. We're just killing time. 2 hours and 28 minutes. AJ puts on pants that don't need a belt, and I enjoy the rest of my day. You guys have, like, happy pants, right? There's some pants you can only be so happy in. And then you get the pants of, like, you talked about, you know, that your joy may be complete. Like, my joy can only be so full in a pair of jeans. Anyway, we have peace and joy. We have peace and joy not because we know every twist and turn in the road, but because we know that the destination is secure, right? There was a season in my life when I lived in Halifax that me and my friend Den Guptill, I like to call him Uncle Den. He's not actually my uncle. He is my actual uncle's best friend, but he's just kind of an uncle figure in my life, kind of an older guy who's always had time for me, you know, invested in me. He's been my pastor times when I needed a pastor but didn't have a pastor because I'm the pastor. Like, that's a weird moment in your life, right? Like, this is the kind of thing someone should talk to their pastor about. Who is that? Oh, I'm going to get a mirror or I could go talk to Den, right? So anyways, we wound up being scheduled to go to a bunch of the same like conferences, church business meetings, seminar kind of stuff down in the States. It's just this weird run for several years where he and I both, for different reasons, always had to go to the same place. I hate to plan a trip. I hate it. My wife and I's 25th anniversary is coming up. It's coming up in August, but we have 2 weeks scheduled coming up in 2 weeks to celebrate. We don't have a plan. We're like, we could go to Newfoundland. That might be more planning than we want to do. We could just go to the cottage. We could stay home. We could hop a flight to Kuala Lumpur. Who knows? Like, I don't like planning trips and I'm not good at it. I'm not detail oriented enough to be a good trip planner. Den is amazing. Den takes a cruise every year, and the day they get back from their cruise, he books the rental car that they will need for the week they spend in Florida before the next cruise. And then every day he watches the price, and if it dips by $2, he cancels and rebooks, and he just rides it all year to save another $3 or $4, man. Like, he's incredible. And he's got all the, you know, the cards, like the card that when you go to the rental place, you just walk in and be like, it's cool, I'm a Black Card member, whatever, right? And he goes in and just jumps in whatever car, he's got that card, right? The special lounge you can sit in when you're not one of the peasants, he's got that card. He has all that stuff. And so here's what we worked out. We like to travel together, and as I mentioned, Den is cheap, I'm cheap too, that's one of the things we have in common. So we go, look, if we're going to this thing together, we could share a rental car, we could share a hotel room, we could save a bunch of money. You wanna do that? I said, yes. He said, do you want me to tell you what we're doing? I said, no. And this is the deal we worked out. Den would tell me when I had to show up at the airport in Halifax, and he would tell me when I needed to be picked up at the airport in Halifax, and that was it. He booked my tickets, he booked my hotel room. He figured out what car company we were renting from. He figured out where we were staying, how far it was from there to the place we were trying to get to for whatever the thing was we were going to. And he would just send me, legitimately, he would send me a bill after we got back. Like, I didn't even give him the money up front. He just took care of it. Those are my favorite trips I've ever taken. I got a backpack and trust in Den. And I roll in. All I knew was, like, I knew what we were going to. Like, I know that at the end of this, we will be in Buffalo for a meeting. I know at the end of this, we're going to be in Indianapolis for a training session. I didn't know how we were getting there. I didn't know every stop. I didn't know every layover. I didn't know how it was going to work. But I knew Den was going to get me where we needed to go, and everything was going to be okay because Den had it. We don't know exactly how Jesus will get us through our journey. We don't know how he's going to get us through every trial. We don't know how exactly his victory is going to show up in every difficult situation we're in. We don't know exactly the way he's going to minister to our heart in our sorrows to bring us peace and joy. We don't know every flight and every layover between here and the full coming of the kingdom, but we can be sure that he will bring us safely to our destination because he has already won. He's got it planned out. And he wants it to be good. Believer who is going through sorrows and trials, heads up. Jesus knows you're on this journey with him and exactly what you're going through. He was prepared for it before you were ever aware of it. He cares about how hard it's been on you. Like, he doesn't just know as in a point of data on a spreadsheet. Like, he cares. He's moved by the sorrow you feel. He empathizes with the trial you're going through. He cares how hard it's been for you, and he wants you to be as full of peace and joy as he can make you. It's not on you. It's not a fruit of your discipline. It's not a fruit of your positive thinking. It's not a fruit of your optimism. It's a fruit of his spirit at work within you. He wants you to be as full of peace and joy as he can make you, and he wants to remind you that if you're riding with him, you will arrive at your destination. And there will be a huge victory celebration because the victory has actually already been won. So I'm going to pray for us. And then in a few minutes after the benediction at all of our locations, you're going to be invited to come forward and receive prayer ministry for anything. Whatever's going on in your life that you'd like someone to pray with you about, you need healing, you need help, you need wisdom, whatever that is. But particularly today, I want to invite you, if you need more peace, if you need more joy in your heart, in your life today, our prayer ministers would be thrilled. It would fill them with joy to be able to pray that with you and over you today. So don't just walk out of here going, yeah, man, I hope I can get more. Like, no, let someone pray with you about that. Let someone pray that for you. I know for me, sometimes when I'm going through trials and sorrows, it's hard to have faith that God actually does want me to have peace and joy in that. It's easy to kind of get back into the headspace of like, he has to get me out of this in order for me to have that. So if you're kind of discouraged, your faith is low today, borrow some of theirs. Like, they can pray full of faith for you. Don't miss that opportunity. Don't miss that opportunity. All right, let's pray. Jesus, thank you that you know. Thank you that when we pour out our hearts to you about the trials and sorrows we're experiencing, you're never going like, whoa, what? You already knew. And you don't just know in the some sort of, you know, distant God off in the sky watching his ant farm. You care. You're moved by what moves us. Your heart breaks for the things that break our heart. You are a good father who cares about what his children are going through. And thank you that your will for us is peace and joy. It's not just a possibility. It's not just something that, you know, maybe a few select will someday be able to experience. It's your will. And so, God, I pray for everyone at all of our locations who is going through it, who's anxious, who's depressed, who's worried, who's just sad. Underneath that, deeper than that, richer than that, fuller than that, would you, by your Holy Spirit, grow these fruits of peace and joy? And thank you, Lord, that no matter what we face in this life, we know that this is not as good as it gets. We know that you will get us safely to our ultimate destination because you have already overcome. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Hey, thanks again for listening. If you found this helpful today, why don't you give it a share? If you need prayer or anything, we'd love to help you out with that. Why don't you go to our website at kingschurch.cc. Thanks again.